I forgot something important. On Sundays, there are people that visit our temple that are new. And while you probably appreciate, what a musical organization this is, you don't know the words. So I normally like to put the words on the screen so at least you can know what the words are that we're singing. So my apology for those of you that are new and I didn't do that. Good intention, but I didn't do it. These names that we just sang together, nice melody too. The names are names of Krishna, specifically Krishna's activities in his most confidential abode or holy place where he resides eternally, called Goloka. And it's describing his loving exchanges and intimate, very personal, intimate, loving relationships with different devotees and the places of Vrindavan. Specifically, these names, it said, they have a special potency along with other names of God that indicate the post or the position, the Almighty, and so forth. They indicate his personal love. And there's potencies invested in these names to stimulate the highest stages of love, a loving mood of service to the source of everything, to Krishna. So that's what we just did. Jai Radha Madhava. During this, Sundari Radha, is she here? Downstairs. Winter retreat, I think she's calling this, what we're doing. This is the theme. Utilizing prayer to deepen our bhakti. And again, for newer people, what does bhakti mean? Bhakti means service with love. And these ancient teachings called the Vedas, they say that, they explain, the soul that's the animating force within us and within everything that's alive, that nice tree over there, and the plants upon the windowsill, and whatever are the little critters that are crawling on the floor, and anything that's alive, there's a soul within. That's the animating force. And that soul has a number of important qualities, and one of them is inherent within the soul is the capacity to love and be loved. How widely that love and be loved propensity is reposed determines levels of consciousness, higher and lower levels of consciousness. And the whole of the system of the Vedas is to elevate consciousness to the supreme love. And that's bhakti. Service, all living entities, whether it's a bug or a tree or a human, in whatever different levels of human existence there is, we're all doing some service. And the topmost stage of service is service with love to the Supreme. That's bhakti. And prayer is not exclusive to this organization, so I specifically chose a classic drawing of prayer by a Dutch artist. Very famous pose of prayerfulness. So we've been discussing prayerfulness when saying our mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra. Not just the saying the sound and meditating on the sound, because that's there, but entering into a mood of prayerfulness. So I thought I would speak something about bhakti and prayer and, you know, very broad, and then get a little more specific. Prayer is acknowledging a higher power. And so there's, in different cultures, in different conceptions of life, there's commonly some kind of higher power. And spiritual sense of higher power is ultimately there's a source of everything, whatever that is. That's the highest power, or in the language of the Vedas, it's the absolute truth, that from which everything else emanates. And prayer is a way of appealing to that, making a connection. That's what yoga means, making a connection with that. So the different systems of yoga, and of all the systems of yoga, I saw one of our new guests carrying a Bhagavad Gita in her hand. So in that Bhagavad Gita, kind of an ABC text of the Vedas, of the yoga system, the connecting with that supreme source of everything, the topmost is bhakti, service with love. So you need to know what that source is, and you need to know who you are, and you need to know what that relationship between you and that source is, and connecting through the means of loving service. The topmost is that bhakti stage, and prayer is one of those 9 categories of bhakti. What does that mean? 9 categories of bhakti. One of our ancient texts, along with Bhagavad Gita, is the graduate study called Srimad Bhagavatam. And in that Srimad Bhagavatam, it says there are 9, not exactly buckets, but categories. And there can be mixtures of different categories. But the categories of bhakti start with hearing, and then vibrating, and then awakening forgotten consciousness, or awakening of forgotten consciousness, remembering. And then another one is prayer unto that source of everything. So it's not unique to this tradition. It's all traditions have some form of prayer to that higher power. And there's different kinds of prayer to that higher power. Just like for those of us born in America, well, now we have a lot of young Indian people also born in America. For our Western people born in America, there's, you know, Judeo-Christian tradition is commonly our background. That's, you know, America during the boomer era. And the Lord's Prayer, of all the different prayers, what's the best way to pray to God? Christ was asked that question. And what was the answer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hey, that's nice. So, Our Father who art in heaven, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. We're doing it. Exactly what he said. Exactly what he said. So there can be prayer for appeal. There's prayer for honoring that which is the source of everything, depending upon one's understanding of what that is. So we've been discussing prayers that have higher and lower and more complete and less complete pictures of what that source of everything is. But recognizing what that source of everything that we're trying to connect with, another is prayers that are offering one's supplication. I offer my respects unto you. I offer my submission unto you. I offer myself unto you. I am yours. Please accept me. Please engage me in your service. And then there's commonly in the world, there's prayers for request. In all traditions of the world. Not this one, that one. It's a request. And bhakti, this topmost of all yoga systems are connecting with the Supreme. The teaching is to get on the other side of feeling the necessity to request something temporary from the source that's the source of everything, the eternal beyond the temporary. That we have some needs. We have some wants. We have some interests. They have a little acronym for this one. Needs, interests, and concerns. We have those things. That's in the mind. And it's not like they're zeros. But it's a 10 either. And the teaching of Bhagavad Gita is, this is on the topic of using prayer to deepen our bhakti. Bhagavad Gita's message is, for those who are ananyat bhaktas, they're undivided in their devotion to the Supreme. You know what? He's a loving person. And he knows what you need. You don't even have to ask. He'll take care of what you need. Like, you know, a child saying, Mommy, it's cold out. She's got 3 jackets already. Which one do you want? Because that's what moms like to do. They like to take care of their dependents. And I'm hungry. You know, there's 16 things. Which one would you like? Because that's so... We don't have to ask God for our material stuff. I mean, we can ask. It's okay. It's not like that's bad. But there's something more complete. There's a little story, and then I'm just going to go to some prayer because we're going to share this time, limited time. Would you like to hear a nice story? Yes! Okay, here's a nice story. There was one sage, a holy man, named Sanatan Goswami, and he lived in the land of Krishna called Vrindavan. You know, many of you from India, you know where Vrindavan is, and those of you are not. Vrindavan is the place where Krishna appeared and had his childhood pastimes. And So Sanatan Goswami was residing there, and he liked chanting Hare Krishna. He liked chanting Hare Krishna so much that he just didn't have an attraction for things that are temporary. Another place in Vrindavan, there was another worshiper, not a worshiper of Krishna, and he was poor. And he had a desire to get stuff. So he heard, a rumor that Sanatan Goswami has this very special stone that you touch the stone to base metal, it becomes gold. And he thought, Sanatan Goswami is very detached, and he's very compassionate, and he's very generous. If I ask him for that touchstone, maybe he'll give it to me out of charity. So he went, and he said some nice things. Oh, Sanatan Goswami, you're very generous, very compassionate. I'm very poor. I can't maintain my family. I heard you have a touchstone. Can I ask that from you in charity? He said, sure. It's over there in the rubbish bin. There's a pile, it's a system that over there is where compost goes. It's over there. So the fellow went and looked, and sure enough, there was the touchstone in that compost pile. And he cleaned it off and, thank you. Went home, checked it out. He had a little iron pot. He touched the touchstone to the iron pot and it turned into gold. Wow, it works. And they found some other metal and gold and gold and gold, and then the little light went on. Because he was a Brahmin, he had capacity for intelligence, just wasn't using it so well, interested in the temporary. He said, if he had this in the compost pile, that means he doesn't value it so much. He's got something more valuable. I'm going to go ask him for that something more valuable, whatever that is. I don't know what it is, but he knows. So he went back and Sanatan Goswami. It works, this touchstone turns things into gold, but you had it over there, and that means you have something more valuable. Yes? Oh, yes, much more valuable. Can you give that to me, too? He said, well, one condition. You have to take the touchstone, go to the river, and throw it in the river. He looked at the touchstone, looked at Sanatan Goswami. He trusted Sanatan Goswami. He's not just an honest man. He's a pure person. He trusted him. He took the touchstone and threw it in the river. Came back, Sanatan Goswami gave him the most valuable thing. What's that? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Because that name is none different than the person. This is spiritual sound vibration. There's a whole science to it. And so the teaching of deepening our bhakti through prayer is not the request for something material, but to become free from the attachment of something material, so that the heart becomes cleansed enough to become attached to that which isn't material, attached to the spiritual, attached to God. Affection, love, abundant joy and happiness in that loving relationship with the Supreme. So, one of the great teachers of this is Prahlad Maharaj. That's another story. Because of time, I'm not going to tell the whole story. It's a long one. But he was a little boy at the time that his father wanted to, he wanted to kill him because he was devoted to God and God was his enemy. He was that kind of a person. There are some people like that. And his father was like that. So when he found out that his son was devoted to Vishnu, he tried to kill him, but he couldn't kill him. Then he asked him, where are you getting your power? He said, from the same place you are, Dad. From Vishnu. Oh, Vishnu. Where is he? I'll cut off your head. And let's see if your Vishnu can come and save you. Vishnu came and saved him. And that Vishnu form was the form that you see in the painting. And then Prahlad offered beautiful prayers to Lord Nrsimhadev, that form of Vishnu that had appeared to protect him. And after hearing his wonderful prayers, Lord Nrsimhadev said, you pleased me very much by your devotion, your constant remembrance of me, your constant devotion to me. I am that one entity that can fulfill all the desires of all living beings. You ask for anything that you like and it's yours. Blank check. As many zeros that you like. Put whatever number at the front you like. It's yours. Not just win the lottery, but put as many zeros at the end as you like. What's the number? It's yours. Now Prahlad, in the following prayers, expresses in beautiful language, I don't want anything. If you want to give me something, take away all desires for having material happiness from my heart, because that's just going to leave my love for you. Because that's what's left. Not like you're empty, or you're zero, or you're void, or you're something. You're filled with love. So this is a prayer for becoming free. Now, we're not there because we're down here, but he is a role model. And you'll hear in these prayers, that it's just seven, and it's recorded so you can just listen. No Sanskrit for us to hear. But he describes, he was sent from the spiritual world, my Lord Vishnu, to teach us the way of pure bhakti. So that's deepening our bhakti by hearing from Prahlad. So something's not working, right? No, but it's supposed to be sound.
Budmani continued. The saint, Narad Muni, continued. Although Prahlad Maharaj was only a boy, when he heard the benedictions offered by Lord Narasimhadev, he considered them impediments on the path of devotional service. Thus, he smiled very mildly and spoke as follows. Prahlad Maharaj said, "My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because I was born in an atheistic family, I'm naturally attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, kindly do not tempt me with these illusions. I'm very much afraid of material conditions, and I desire to be liberated from materialistic life. It is for this reason that I have taken shelter of your lotus feet." Oh, my worshipable Lord, because the seed of lusty desires, which is the root cause of material existence, is within the core of everyone's heart, you have sent me to this material world to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee. Otherwise, O my Lord, O Supreme Instructor of the entire world, you are so kind to your devotee that you could not induce him to do something unbeneficial for him. On the other hand, one who desires some material benefit in exchange for devotional service cannot be your pure devotee. Indeed, he is no better than a merchant who wants profit in exchange for service. A servant who desires material profits from his master is certainly not a qualified servant or pure devotee. Similarly, a master who bestows benedictions upon his servant because of a desire to maintain a prestigious position as master is also not a pure master. Oh, my Lord, I am your unmotivated servant, and you are my eternal master. There is no need of our being anything other than master and servant. You are naturally my master, and I am naturally your servant. We have no other relationship. Oh, my Lord, best of the givers of benediction, if you at all want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray from your Lordship that within the core of my heart there be no material desires.
So that's my part, and now the Devita Prabhu, the tag team.
I feel I'm in a difficult spot trying to add anything. First, I offer respect to Srila Prabhupada, my preceptor, and our great exemplar of the perfect person who's praying. I would like to tell a little bit about how I came to this position, because the tendency is to think, oh yeah, these old devotees, they've always been devotees. I mean, but I spent the first 23 years of my life as a total atheist. I hadn't prayed to anybody. I was raised as a Marxist. Totally. I swear. My father would pull out the Das Kapital every night and he would read to me and train me up.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I thought that God is just the opium of the people. This was as much as the Marxist thing. So how in heaven did I come to be like a Hare Krishna? And it has to do with this theme of prayer. So I was going along nicely in my atheistic views. I was very involved in politics. This was the 60s, when I was very obsessed with the war in Vietnam, trying to end the war. So many demonstrations and so many leaflets and all kinds of stuff. Not a hint of God. There was nothing. So, after a long struggle through in the 60s, of trying to end this war, Nixon was elected. And it was like a shot to the gut, you know, all that effort. And now this guy's elected. He's just going to keep the war going. So I felt completely bereft of meaning. My life, you know, like what I was doing in my life, I had dropped out of school. I thought I'd go to jail for draft resistance and all this stuff. So I kind of just floated around and I lived on the Lower East Side. I actually was going to school in New York University. And although the Hare Krishnas were right there, anyone knows the history, their first temple was just a few blocks away, and I would see them sometimes on the street. But I was a million miles away from that, you know. And somehow, by living in those circumstances, I got sick. I got a hepatitis. It wasn't hepatitis C, but it was a serious case. I went to the hospital, and it was like, my whole life was kind of came to a zero there. You know, I didn't have my health. I lost my faith in communism and what to do. So I came out of that and I need to get my health back. And so I had been exposed to Eastern music and a few books about yoga, hatha yoga. So I said, oh, let me try the hatha yoga. And I lived by that time I was living on the island. I went into the city and looked at the yellow pages. And there I found Amala Bhakta's ashram. He wasn't Amala, I don't know if you know Amala Bhakta Swami, but he, at that time, he was running an ashram, a Hatha Yoga ashram. So I started going to that. And still no real belief in God. It was just the exercises were helping me, you know. But in that milieu of the New York yoga scene, I gradually came in touch with the Hare Krishna mantra, not from the Hare Krishnas, from another organization, and started chanting. And a little bit, not a lot, just whenever we're meditating. And so by Krishna's arrangement, that mantra had its effect in me and awakened my interest in who is this Krishna, you know? And I eventually showed up at the temple in Brooklyn where Maharaj was there as a brahmachari, one of the, a couple of years. This was 73. You've been there for a few years. And so I joined but from the chanting and of course reading Srila Prabhupada's books, I began to have some faith, not just in Krishna, but in the whole world that Srila Prabhupada was presenting. And the reason why I'm telling this story is that the awakening of any soul to the reality of the spiritual world, the fact that we're spirit souls, that there is a God, this can only come from contact with the faithful. And especially when we're talking about the highest understanding of theology here, Marjorie was outlining. From contact with a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada. Now my first contact, as practically everybody in the world, if they get a first contact, is through the books. Through the books of Srila Prabhupada. And the one thing I noted, because I was a student of philosophy and of Western philosophy, and that there's always a hedge. There's always a speculative element to it. There's no sense that this is the absolute truth that you're reading, whether it's Aristotle or Socrates or anything. But in Srila Prabhupada's books, and I first read the Krishna book, and then I got the Bhagavad Gita, there's this central surety about it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Srila Prabhupada is writing from the platform. It was very clear from a realization that this is the truth. Now, I wasn't immediately convinced, obviously. But from the chanting of the holy name and association with devotees who were already experienced, the seed of faith was planted so that I could seriously begin this process, this yoga process of chanting the holy name and doing the other things. And Krishna from within, he was increasing that faith. I didn't see Krishna the third day I was there, you know, but I began to be attracted to the whole lifestyle and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And so then eventually, of course, I moved in and became immersed and I got initiated and became full on Hare Krishna. So the reason why I mention this is that when you pray, and of course there's all kinds of religions, people are praying to God in their own conception. The foundation is faith. The faith is that God is out there, and also the faith that he can hear my prayers and respond to them, and hopefully that there'll be a favorable response, right? And so people pray very ardently for that, for all kinds of things and all kinds of levels. Maharaj was outlining this wonderful excerpt from the Srimad Bhagavatam, what is the ideal prayer within the context of Gaudiya Vaishnava or Krishna consciousness. And it's nothing material. Because that's okay. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvadha bhajante mam jana sukata rojana, those who are pious, they may come to me out of distress, very common, or desire for some wealth or something valuable. You know, my child is sick, please let me have some money so I can pay the doctor or whatever it is. He says, that's fine. As long as they come to me, if they're coming to me with these desires and performing bhakti and praying, then if all goes well and they continue their faith, then the desire will be purified. The point is that the ultimate prayer, and I'll give you a sample, when Srila Prabhupada first came, 2 weeks after I moved in, Srila Prabhupada came. Ooh. In April of 1973. I joined in March 27th. And so I had no idea it was such a rare experience. He says, oh, and this is a normal thing. But it was very, you know, a lot of mercy. And Srila Prabhupada was speaking on the prayers of Queen Kunti, which he really loved, you know. And, I remember the verse that he chanted immediately interested me, and I wanted to memorize it. It was a simple verse. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devati Nandanaya Cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. This is just she's offering obeisances to Krishna in different names. Krishnaya Vasudevaya. Devaki Nandana is the son of Devaki. But also Nanda Gopakonamaya, she recognizes wife in Vrindavan, that he was also the son of Nanda. So anyway, I heard Srila Prabhupada come, and I saw him, and it had a tremendous impact. I was a bhakta then, and then, you know, I wanted to get initiated. So this prayers of Queen Kunti, near the end of her prayers, she has what I thought was a perfect ideal prayer, and really encapsulated the mood of that Prahlad Maharaj has and all sincere bhaktas have. Nothing material. In fact, the prayer before, she says, please cut off all my material attachment to my sons, the Pandavas and all the Vrishnis. This is quite something for a mother to say. But that's the negative. The positive is, she says, Trayame Anandibishaya Matir Madhupate Sakrit Ratamudvahatarabdha Gange Vaugamadangati. Oh, Madhava, please ever fill my mind with thoughts of thee, not any other kind, as Ganges torrent flows into the sea, that all my love flow constantly to thee. This is a perfect prayer. And anyone can take this prayer and offer it to Krishna. So, but it's a recognition of our status, is that our mind, this is, you learn from Bhagavad Gita and other books of philosophy that Srila Prabhupada has given us, Bhagavatam, is that as what we call conditioned souls who have forgotten Krishna, forgotten our relationship with God, we are kind of imprisoned in a material, what Prabhupada would call a material tabernacle. It's like a big machine, this body. It's just a machine, very complicated, very wonderful. But like any machine, it's made of matter, and eventually it breaks down. But within this machine, we have the gross body that we see in the mirror, that we're all commonly called, but the subtle body, the mind, the intelligence, and the ego. And it's that subtle body which is filled with material desires and forgetfulness of Krishna that keeps us bound life after life in this world. Sometimes as human beings, sometimes as tree, insect, all these different species. It's the mind. So as in any yoga process, bhakti yoga also ultimately focuses on that mind, of placing the mind on Krishna and purifying the heart or the mind. Lord Chaitanya says, first thing in his instructions on the holy name, Chaito Dharpana Marjanam, that this chanting that we've done so often and we'll do again of the Hare Krishna mantra polishes this mirror of the mind so you can see yourself. You can see yourself as a spiritual being. And immediately the blazing fire of material life is extinguished, meaning that you have a clear path out of this holocaust of birth, death, old age, and disease repeated again and again. So it's not only that we need to have the faith that God exists and he can hear us, but we need to also hear the words of the great devotees and that are geared toward us. In other words, the English language, and Srila Prabhupada spoke in a way, and he wrote in a way that we can understand, of who you really are, who God is, what the relationship is, and how you should pray to reestablish that relationship, what to pray for. Because the tendency is to pray for something material, which is okay if you're praying to Krishna, but you need to graduate from that to really pray as we heard Prahlad pray and as Kunti prays. And so that's what this weekend has all been about, has been about praying to deepen our bhakti. And so we've been inundated. It's like an ocean of nectar of beautiful prayers and verses and examples of great devotees praying so that we can follow, so that that our paths of bhakti can be nourished. And not only will we get liberation out of this bond of birth and death, but will actually be reinstated in our original loving relationship with Krishna, which is what the final goal of bhakti is. So that's basically what I wanted to share. And that's maybe I can do in a couple of more little shlokas.
Go back.
So this is one that, because, you know, I'm, I, you know, I created a new word. I invented a word.
You did?
Yeah, Mantra Jagri Gukla. Can anyone guess what it means? This is a word.
Come on.
Yeah. No, it's true. Because from those 2 years in the ashram in Brooklyn, I was trained to come to the morning program. You know, Hare Krishna is, it's kind of a thing. You know, your first offering is at 4:30 in the morning, right? You might, you know. And when you first move in, it says, what? You get me up in the middle of the night? Really? You know? And then the first challenge, it was winter. It was like, you know, March 27. It was pretty cold. It's just the beginning of spring. And, cold shower. Even in a cold shower in the middle of winter, what are you, crazy? But I'd already moved in, and you know, everyone's lined up to take their shower, so I said, well, okay, it's do or die. I'm gonna leave the ash. So, I had been practicing yoga, breathing, and there's a certain thing called a warming breath. Try it sometime. So my turn is there. I said, okay, I'm going for it. So I went in the shower, turned it on. Here you go. 13-second shower. Come out. I'm a yogi. I'm good. You know? And now I go down. And so it's funny, but you know, the first couple of days are a little tough.
What's the invented word part?
Okay. So Mantra Jagri Gukla. So Mantra Jagri Gukla stands for Mangalarti, Tulsi Puja, Japa, Greeting, Guru Puja, and Class. These are the elements of the morning program. You attend Mangalarti 4:30, then afterward there's Tulsi Puja, then there's 2 hours or so of Japa, and then we greet the deities, and Guru Puja, sorry, and then the class, and then you've been to the morning program. So, because of the service I have, which doesn't involve a lot of management, and like travel, and all kinds of irregularities, I've been able to pretty much do that for 45 years. And, you know, to be at all those functions. And so I just, highly recommend it. It sets Srila Prabhupada started this, he developed the morning program to be an ideal mix of the 5 most important elements of devotional service given by, Rupa Goswami in his Nectar of Devotion. And that is association with devotees, chanting Hare Krishna, studying, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, living in a holy place, his temple is a holy place, and worshiping the deity with faith and veneration. Now, only a very few, very fortunate souls get to go on the altar and literally, you know, worship the deity and address the deity. But believe me, this is totally bona fide. Coming before the deity, chanting Hare Krishna before the deity with reverence and appreciation is also deity worship.
Yes.
The deity worship really isn't complete if there's no kirtan going on. Mm. That has to be there. So anyway, I've been fortunate to do that. In the course of doing, there's always the greeting and the deities. So as we greet the deities, I have a certain set of prayers that I've offered regularly. And one of the ones I've been fortunate to be at a temple with Radha Krishna deities, beautiful Kishore here. So I'll give you the prayer that I offer every day. This is by Rupa Goswami. And it's one of the second to last verse that he wrote of all the verses. He wrote thousands and thousands of verses. And it's part of a book, poem called the Utkalika Valari, which is the creeper of his most ardent desires. It's almost like Raghunath Das Goswami's Kusumanda. So here's the verse. It's a very, very, Pashupalabadinyanandano, Vadamitam Moharati Yuvam, Bhavatu Pranayo Bhave Bhave, Vapatori Vapatam Vrajeshume. So visualize this, Radha and Krishna. And so the English is, O Radha Krishna, children of the best of coward men, this single boon I beg from you again and yet again, and all the countless births my endless sins will make me meet, let all my love flow toward your luscious, lustrous lotus feet. And that's the prayer of Rupa Goswami. So the idea is that he's not even saying, well, I'm expected to go back to Godhead. He's taking the position, the humble position. Yeah, I'm so contaminated. I'll be coming back again. But in any condition, let all my love be flowing to you. This is a ideal prayer. So, also for going to Thai, Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito, Gododahi Pushpabanto Chitro Shundo Tamonado. Oh, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, I offer my obeisance unto you. you have arisen just like the sun and the moon simultaneously over the horizon of Bengal in order to benedict or bless everybody and enlighten everyone. This is like the second verse in the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita. So my prayer is, if you will, if you have, you can generate this faith by associating with devotees, chanting Hare Krishna, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, and then adopt some of these prayers. Queen Kunti's prayers are there, and there's so many prayers throughout the books. And they help us to stay connected to Krishna, and they help to define our aspirations in relation to devotional service. Hare Krishna. So, what time is it?
We're ready for the next wonderful part of our Sunday program, and you all know what that one is. Taking the remnants of Kishore Kishori Mahaprasadam.